Lord, thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for the truth that you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and that you want to speak to us today. And so I pray that through this message you would speak to us and we would hear and apply what we hear. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever wanted to change something or try something different, and yet you had no idea how to do it? Now, believe this or not, I can't believe my parents allowed this, but when I was 16 years old, I had a motorcycle. My brother was 21, and he had a motorcycle, and we took a trip to Glacier Park on our motorcycles. I have a 16-year-old son, and that's not happening. And I had other sons that were 16, and that never happened. But we went on this trip, and we went to Glacier Park. My brother was really responsible, and so that's why they let me go. But we both had our own motorcycles, and we were camping at this campsite. And this is a long time ago now, but I always remember there's a guy camping next to us that had all of the brand new camping equipment. Everything was pristine and brand new. And he had one of those lanterns, Coleman lanterns, that you have to pump, right, to kind of get it pumped up and so you could light it and start it. And nothing was working. Everything he had, he didn't know how to use. And he was sitting there, and I still remember it to this day, because it was just over a ways, but all of a sudden we hear this crash because he just went like this and smashed that whole thing off the picnic table and just sent it flying, and it just shattered out of frustration because here he was, I think, wanting to do something new, go to the mountains and camp, and had no idea how to do it. Never had any training, got all of the right equipment, but didn't know how to use the equipment. As I look back on it now, I feel badly that my brother and I, we just kind of hunkered down and like, whoa, that dude's kind of unhinged. Instead of going over there and trying to help him figure out how to use that equipment that we did know how to use. But we weren't actually helpful, and the equipment wasn't actually helpful either because what? He didn't know how to use it. One of the things we are talking about in this upcoming several weeks of when we're looking at practicing the way, is talking about some of the tools that God has given us to help us to grow in our faith. I want to remind us what we were talking about during the Advent season, that God came in the flesh and was present with us in Jesus. So when God comes in the flesh, he is now present in Jesus so that we can see who God is and what God is like. Now, after that, then, through faith in Jesus, we then can know who God is. And then God starts this transforming process of maturing us in our faith, okay? So let's see this picture. Jesus comes in the flesh and was present with us so that we could know who God was. And then through faith now, through faith in what Christ has done for us, we can actually have a relationship with God. And then God starts to transform us or mature us in our faith. And then while he's doing that, the goal is that he might be glorified through us as he begins to transform us to look more and more like Jesus. And now, how does he do this? How is God glorified? Well, he's glorified by showing us mercy. I hope that you take that with you today, that his mercy being shown to you is undeserved. You don't deserve mercy, but he's showing you mercy, and for that, God should be glorified. But not only does he show us mercy, he does another thing. He begins to transform us into the image of his son, Jesus. And this is a beautiful picture to think about. God in his mercy, saving you and I, and then just doesn't leave it at that and said, well, I'll save you, and I'll keep kind of living your life and all the ways that you're stumbling and fumbling through it and making a mess. He says, I'm going to start to work to transform you and to change you. And that's part of where we see this passage today. As your pastor, this passage is an important one to me because part of what God's called me to do is to present each of you mature in Christ. That's part of what my calling is to help you grow in your faith so that you might be mature in Christ. Let me just read it again. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory, of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God chose to make known amongst the Gentiles, you and I, and amongst the Jews, the riches of his glorious mystery, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, here it is, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. And so Paul is saying that his purpose, his goal, is to present this church mature in Christ. And that's what I would say all of your pastors are about, wanting to present you mature in Christ and doing the things and presenting things to you that will help you mature in Christ. So today, that's what I want you to have your antenna up for, is what are some of the things that the Bible tells us that we can use to help us mature in Christ. Now, I want to remind you just a couple of things of what it looks like to be mature in Christ. And this is just, you have to remember, when we're preaching, we can't give you everything because we'd be here for days and days and days, right? So this is part of what it looks like to be mature in Christ. It's not the only things, but it is part of what it looks like. First is to fulfill the great commandment. Part of what it means to be mature in Christ is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor. You'll find that in Matthew 22, this picture of loving God with everything that's in you and then loving the people around you. That's part of what it means to be mature in Christ. Another part of what it means is the fruit of the Spirit. You can find that in Galatians chapter 5. Love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's part of what it means to be mature in Christ. And then two other verses is about the image of Jesus being presented in us and being created in us. Listen to Romans 8:29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. So part of what it means to be mature in our faith is to being transformed into the image of Jesus, so that Jesus is the firstborn of many brothers and sisters. And that's been happening now for a couple thousand years, and there are billions of brothers and sisters now in the image of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says this, and we all, and we talked about this recently, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So we're being transformed from one degree of glory to another, one degree into the image of Jesus slowly through the Spirit. Now, what we're going to talk about today is something we call spiritual disciplines. These are the things, the tools, and this is really important that you hear this. These are the tools that God has given us in order to mature in our faith and to know Christ better, in order to have the fruit of the Spirit developed in us, in order to be obedient to the great commandment and the other things the Bible teaches. He has given us some tools. Now, the tools sometimes get mixed up we think that the tools are the spiritual end goal in and of themselves. And we want to make this really clear that we think these are just tools that God has given us so that we might know him better, and I'm going to go farther, that we might mature in Christ. Now, what happened historically, here's two extremes. One extreme was the ascetics. And the ascetics, what they said was, wow, if we just punish ourselves and are ruthlessly disciplined, God will be glorified by that. So back in the old monks, the ascetic monks, they would whip themselves. They would do all kinds of torturous things, thinking that somehow as they were doing that, God would be glorified in their sacrifice. So that was one extreme, that the disciplines themselves, the fasting, the silence, the being in the word, they would just put all kinds of parameters around these things to make them so weighty that they really didn't produce the image and maturity of Christ, but they looked like they were producing something because they were so extreme. Now, the other extreme was the mystics, and the mystics essentially said, just let go and let God. Don't do anything, just sit back and let's see what God's going to do in your life. So they didn't put any effort into doing some of these disciplines in order to see them as tools in which they could know God better. They just said, well, we believe in Jesus, and now we're just going to sit back, see what he says to us. We're not going to practice anything. We're just going to kind of live and let go. So those two extremes have been happening throughout church history. The ascetics, who were rigid in their disciplines, the mystics who didn't do any disciplines and just threw up their hands and said, let's see what God's going to do. And then you had the church practices that we could see in the scriptures. Here are some things that we see Jesus do, and we see the apostles do, and we see other people do that help them mature in their faith and know God more deeply. So that's where we're going to spend our time this morning, is just looking at nine of those and how those can help us. And why we're doing this at the beginning of the new year is to try to, I want to encourage you and to call you to making some choices and decisions about your spiritual life and your spiritual growth that will help you mature in your faith. Here's the thing we've been saying over the last couple of months, that we are all being formed spiritually somehow. And one of the ways we've talked about as we're being formed is through these, right? Oh, that's my grandson. Can you see him? I have to confess, she sends me videos and I watch those, okay, even though I'm doing a digital fast. But we have media that forms us. We have our personal relationships. We have our own thoughts and ideas. One of the things that can be so dangerous about isolation, right, is that we don't have anybody else's thoughts. We're just thinking our own thoughts, and we don't have anybody challenging or asking us questions. You fill in the blank, but there are all kinds of forces and all kinds of things that are impacting us spiritually and are maturing us in one degree or another, either in Christ or away from Christ. And so what we've been talking about is, what are some of the things that maybe we could set aside that might be influencing us in a negative way in the time that we're now living in? And what are some of the things that we could maybe engage in a little bit more that would help us in our maturing process in our faith? Now, some of these things, some of you will say, I'm already doing that. And I'm going to say, keep going. So if you hear something today that you say, I think I've been doing pretty good in that, I'm going to say, great, keep going. If you hear something today that you say, maybe I could grow in that, I'm going to invite you to seek somebody from the church that can help you grow in that. I'm going to just ask, I asked the elders if they would just stand up. Jimmy's in the back there. Jay, would you stand up? And Jason, these are some people that you could seek out and say, hey, here's an area of my spiritual disciplines that I'd like to grow in. Could you help me? Could you suggest some things for me? You can turn to the person to your left and turn to the person to your right and ask them the same thing, all right? But if you're looking for some help, we want to be here to help you with these things. Okay, so the point is, we're all being influenced spiritually. We have input. And the question is, am I putting in the things that I need to be putting in to grow in my faith? Now, there's two other things that you need to hear about these disciplines. They have what we call disciplines of engagement, things that we engage in and do, and disciplines of abstinence, things that we step back from and not do as much and step away from. One of those things we'll talk about is solitude. That'd be a discipline of abstinence, where you step away from everything so you can have some time alone with God. Reading the scripture would be a discipline of engagement, where you're engaging in something. All right, so that's the template for today. And I hope that maybe if you're a note taker, you would write these things down. We'll send them out in a recap of the sermon this week. If you don't get that email, please fill out the little form at the bottom of the bulletin and throw that in the offering plate, and you'll get on our email list. But here's those things. The first tool, again, it's a tool. It's something God has given us so that we might mature in our faith and become mature like Christ and know God more deeply, in order to bring honor and glory to his name. That's the point of it all. The first one is simply being in scripture. Familiar passage to many of you, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, you've heard me say this multiple times, and I'm just going to say it again today. You cannot and you will not mature in your faith unless you're in the Word. There's just one of those things that it just will not happen. And when we get to application, I'll give you some thoughts on this. I'm not trying to say any of this stuff to make anybody feel guilty. I'm inviting you to want to mature in your faith. And we won't mature in our faith without being in God's Word. It doesn't mean that you have to be in God's Word 3 chapters a day. It doesn't mean you have to be in God's Word for an hour. But it does mean that in your context and in your situation, you need to start being in God's word to some degree or another, and to be able to study it and to read it and to let it do these things. Let it reproof you and correct you and train you in righteousness so that you might be equipped for all the things God wants you to do. How are you going to know what God's plan is and how God sees things unless you go to his word? And so I just want to challenge you. The first tool that God has given us to mature in our faith is his word. And he did profound and amazing things to keep his word preserved to get to you and I in 2025. And then he put us in a culture where we can get one. It's in my bag over there. I can get a Bible anytime I want. There's one in the back table if you want it. And I can read it anytime I want, and nobody will stop me. And yet, it's one of those things that we struggle to do. I just want to implore you that if you want to become mature in your faith, then being in the Word is a must. And if you don't know where to start, talk to one of us, and we'll help you figure out where to start. The second one is one that might be surprising for us sometimes. It's Sabbath. It's Sabbath. It's the idea that we were designed and created to rest. Listen to Hebrews 4, 9, and 10. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. God himself rested, and God intends for one day there to be a rest that's a beautiful, long peace where there's no more, not that there's not going to be any more toil, but there's not going to be any more burden of toil. Did you know that work was not a part of the fall? God always intended us to work. The drudgery of work is what happened after the fall. Can you imagine how many gardeners out there? Anybody, any gardeners? Could you imagine gardening without any weeds? That's the way it was supposed to be. No drudgery, just the joy of seeing the fruit produced. Any carpenters out there ever like cut, what's the old saying? Measure twice, cut once. You measured once and had to cut three times. That's usually what happens to me. Can you imagine building something that just, it's not hard work. It all goes right. You're not carrying shingles up a ladder where you're feeling super worn out and tired. That there'll be a time when there will be no more of that, but we'll still be producing and being productive. But right now, on this side of heaven, God's made it clear ever since the Ten Commandments and before in creation story that we were designed to rest. How are you doing with resting? How are you doing with Sabbathing? That can be really hard. It's hard for me. And throughout my journey, I've had to work really hard at that. It's not my nature to Sabbath. It's my nature to keep going and do more than I should. God's intention for us to mature in our faith and to mature in Christ is that we would have times of rest. You know what rest reminds us of? That we're not God. You know, when I used to have a coworker, he'd say, yeah, I only need 4 hours of sleep a night. And I'm like, man, but you don't work with you. You know, you're a really pretty crabby guy. And you actually need a little bit more sleep than you think you need. And so sometimes we have these ideas that we can do all these things, and we're saying that we're not really human. God designed us to have to stop and have to rest. And the Sabbath, an idea of Sabbath, is a great tool that God has given us to refresh and to rest and to slow down. And if you're like me, your mind's always going and you don't feel like you know how to slow it down, there are still moments where you can find some ways. Sometimes just sitting on the couch and looking out my window seems really unproductive. And yet it's really important that I do that sometimes. Sometimes just turning on a little bit of music and just sitting on my couch for me is a big deal. I don't know what it looks like for you, but I am saying that one of the tools, and actually a commandment from the Old Testament, was a tool of Sabbath, that we are called and designed to rest. A second one is solitude. Sometimes stepping away and from all of the distractions and all of the busyness and having moments of solitude and maybe even silence with it, they don't always have to go hand in hand. Sometimes solitude with music, sometimes You know, it can look different ways, but sometimes solitude and silence together, you step away and then engage in something like prayer or reading of scripture. In the busyness of our world, most of us don't have much time for self-reflection. And we do that intentionally. Because when I have moments of self-reflection, I sometimes reflect on things that are hard. And I sometimes don't want to reflect on those. And what solitude and silence does, it gives us an opportunity to step away, and then I would say engage in something like prayer or being in the Word, and God speaks to us and can reveal some things that are going on in our hearts. Luke 5:16, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He got away from everything and all the distractions. If you're a people person, this is hard for you. If you're an introvert, you're like, sign me up, man, I'm in. You know, my daughter, you know, during COVID, she's like, this is awesome, you know, I don't have to see anybody, you know. But we're all designed differently. And the introvert person, sometimes your disciplines that you're going to have to engage in can be harder because they're like community. We'll get to that one, so you're not off the hook. If you're the extrovert, sometimes community is like all you want, and there's no time for reflection, no time of stepping away to lonely places and hearing what the Lord might say. I have a really simple discipline that I'd encourage you to try. Take a moment, take an hour, and just ask God this question. Show me three things in my life that you want me to pay special attention to. Three areas in my maturity that maybe I haven't been listening to you about, maybe I have been ignoring. That has been really life-changing for me. Because I did that, I've done that several times, and I've asked the Lord what he wants me to pay special attention. Now, hear me carefully. I always say, Lord, don't give all of them to me, because I can't handle 50, okay? But I can handle three. And then, Lord, when I have worked on those three and you're ready to add to the list, let me know. And it's been life-changing for me to be able to know, okay, here's the things that I should be focusing on in my maturity, in my character, that I need to be paying attention to. That can't happen unless you have moments of stepping away from everything and just saying, okay, Lord, let's you and I talk. Let's have some time of community between you and I. With that, then, the fourth discipline is prayer. This is what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You know the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, here's how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. One of the things that God has changed in my prayer life is praying for his will to be done. But to mature in our faith, we have to have times when we're communicating with God, when we're praying. When we're doing, you'll see it, we've been doing it in the service. You might not notice exactly the plan that we have as we do it, but at the beginning, we usually it's a prayer of adoration. Then we have this time of confession, and the second one is supplication, where we pray and lift things up to the Lord. Then we do a time of confession, and at the end we do a time of thanksgiving. There are different ways that you can design your prayer life, but we call that ACTS, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. Supplication is praying for others. One of the things that I do is just make a list of people and things I want to pray for. I'm kind of letting you into a little picture of my own personal devotional life, but something that I've been doing just in the last maybe 3 or 4 months that has just been really refreshing and really encouraging, and I share it with you for your encouragement, okay? My alarm goes off 15 minutes before the main alarm goes off, before I'm supposed to get up, and what I've been doing is I just spend that 15 minutes, and I have been praying. Well, I'll tell you the whole thing. What I do is I just say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. You know why I do that? Okay, being really vulnerable here. I don't wake up well, okay? I'm not in a good space when I wake up, all right? Some of you are morning people, like my wife, and it's a good space when you get up. Some of you are more like me, or it takes a little bit of time to get into that space. So I've started to start it with, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Then I spend a moment, and I recite the Lord's Prayer. And I'm still in bed when I'm doing all this. I recite the Lord's Prayer, and I do it in a meaningful way, not just to get it done. And then I've been reflecting on my salvation story. 30 seconds, I think back to the couch I was sitting on as my brother shared the gospel with me. I think about the big tree in our front yard that I sat down as a 5-year-old and told the Lord, I realized I was a sinner and I needed Jesus. And I just reflect on that and remember that. And then I go into my three things that the Lord has put on my heart that I need to be focusing on. And I pray for the Lord's strength and help on those three things. And then I've just prayed for my immediate family. And I got to tell you, it's just been really joyful. And to feel like, oh yeah, I prayed for my kids today. Now, some of you parents know, as much as we say we want to do that, life can get busy and we forget some things, right? And to make sure that in that morning, I've prayed for my wife and I've prayed for my kids, and when the next alarm goes off 15 minutes later, I'm like, that was awesome. That was really nice. I don't wake up going, oh, I got to do this. I've started to wake up and go, oh, I get to do this. And I get to talk to the God of the universe about things that are important to me. And I get to actually petition him for my family. And that's been really a joyful thing. Now, later in the day, I petition him for you as well. That's part of my later day process. But just waking up in the morning and having that time of prayer and setting those two alarms, maybe it's 3 minutes for you. But I just invite you to let God use prayer for you to mature in your faith, to know him better. It's much more joyful for me when I get out of bed knowing, man, I just talked to the God of the universe. And I talked to him about my life. I talked to him about some things I want to see happen for the day. And I lifted up my family to him. And I'm just going to invite you to consider adding prayer and deepening your prayer life. Now, there's one other thing that you can do that sometimes can be really helpful if you get stuck in prayer is praying through scripture. That's been also transforming for me, to open up a psalm and pray through that psalm and pray for people through a psalm. And so I'll talk to you more about that at another time, but praying through scripture is another tool to help you in your prayer life. The fourth thing was fasting, the discipline of fasting. This is from the scripture. Jesus says this, and when you fast, now here's the thing that theologians have noted. When he says when you fast, he's assuming that they're going to fast. So this is a teaching on, I believe you're going to do this because this has been part of your practice in the Jewish tradition. But he says, when you fast, don't look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. So what Jesus is saying, he expects that there'll be some moments in life in which they fast, in which they abstain from eating food in order to seek the Lord for some purpose. If you want to know more about fasting, again, those are one of those things that you can ask one of our elders about, and we'll be happy to talk with you about that. By the way, I should back up to the praying through scripture. We actually have a book on the resource table about how to pray through scripture. So if you want access to that, you can grab one of those. Now here we're going to start to meddle. Here's the sixth one is community. That God has designed us to be part of Christian community in order for us to mature in our faith. This is what Jesus says in John 13:35. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you what? If you love one another. Can't love one another unless you're in community with one another. Now, that's going to look different for each of us, like I said. But it is a necessity in order to mature in Christ to have other believers that are helping you in your walk. One of the most difficult things that I've seen in my journey is people walking in isolation and having no other brothers and sisters to help when they fall down, to help them back up. And to try to navigate the complexities of life. Listen, if you're married less than 10 years, I'm going to just encourage you that you should have somebody who's been married more than 10 years in your life that can help you figure out how to stay married. You've been married 20 years? Find somebody who's been married longer than you. The point is that things like marriage and parenting and job transitions and relationships and friendships, we weren't supposed to just figure those things out on our own. We live in a culture that says just figure it out on your own. We're supposed to be coming together as the body of Christ and helping each other figure out how to do it. I sometimes smile when I see people talking about how they want to see their children, and then they're not talking to anybody who's maybe actually already raised children, right? Or we talk about how we want to mature in our faith, but we never come ask somebody who's more mature in faith to mentor and to disciple. there's a degree of humility that comes with this, right? To say that, man, maybe I need others to help me grow in my faith. I struggled with that as a young man, to be honest. I thought the most mature thing was to be me, grit my teeth, and be on my own. And then one day I realized, I started being in the ministry, and I realized there's a lot of things I didn't know. And it might have been wiser, and it was wiser, to find a man who was older than me and say, hey, teach me how to do this. And that mentoring taught me so much of what I know today in ministry by humbling myself and saying, guess what, I need a mentor. But community, how do we demonstrate that we're mature in our faith? Is by loving one another. This is what Colossians 3:15 through 17 says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So you see the need for the community to teach and admonish one another with all wisdom and singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs to one another to encourage each other along. Because the thing that is so real about this journey, it is a hard journey this side of heaven. And this is a picture of people coming alongside each other. I got you right now. Have you ever been in a really bad place and you're not there anymore? Have you ever been in a really good place and you're not there anymore? That's how life works, right? So when I'm in a really bad place, I need somebody to come alongside and pick me up. When I'm in a really good place, I need to be looking around and picking somebody else up. That's how this journey works, and we're supposed to be in a community where we teach one another with wisdom and love and care for one another. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. We grow and mature when we rub up against each other sometimes and learn some things from each other. And guess what? We learn some things about ourselves. One of the hardest parts about being in community is I learned some bad things about myself. What's one of the most intimate places of community? Marriage, right? I got married thinking I was one of the greatest guys in the world. And then I got married and I'm like, I'm kind of a jerk sometimes, right? Now my wife's not here. She's in nursery, so she won't yell out anything about what I'm a jerk about sometimes. But you see my point. I learned some things in that intimate community that God helped me to grow in. Because just by myself, I didn't know some of those things were even there. So community is an important piece of maturing in Christ. A seventh one is generosity. This is the idea of being generous with the things God has given us, the time, the money, the resources, saying they're all His. We've been a very generous church, and my time here at Rock Hill, I've just been blessed by seeing the generosity of all of our campuses. But part of maturing in Christ is having a heart and an attitude of generosity. Here's 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 12. He who supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. The overflowing in this case right now with Advent Conspiracy, to think that we're drilling wells in Africa where they don't have clean water, something that we just take for granted. An overflow of the riches that Christ has given you and I, and we give to those things. We give to the ministry of the church. Two more. Number eight, service. Part of maturing in Christ is to serve, because Christ himself came to serve. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He came to serve you and I, and he's called us to be people who serve his church and serve outside of the church. So part of maturing in our faith is to be people who serve. I'm going to do a little plug. If you want to serve here, there's a card back on the resource table that you can fill out and mark some of the ways that you can serve and throw it in the offering plate. I want to encourage you to think of ways you can serve outside of here. It's been really exciting this fall to see our city groups serving all over the place in our city. The last one is witness. To be mature in our faith means to grow in our witness and being willing to witness. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We're called, all of us, to be witnesses for Christ. All right, I'm going to wrap us up with some basic application today, okay? So if you've lost me, come on back, and here's some really simple ways that you can apply this. First, scripture. Ask one of us about how you can get into the scriptures. If you're struggling with reading the scripture, talk to one of us, and we'll give you some ideas about how to do that. One of my favorites is just open to the book of Matthew and read from one heading to the next. There are headings in your Bibles that are artificial. They're not there by the original authors, but those who've written the Bibles give you a heading like, this is the topic of this section. Read from that, from one to the next. Take you literally a minute. I invite you to start there. Pick a book of the Bible and just read from one heading to the next. Check out one of our Bible studies. Go to one of our city groups. But you need to be in the Word, and we'd love to help you figure out how to do that. Second is Sabbath. Plan rest. You have to plan it. If you don't plan it, it'll not be a priority, and there'll be plenty of other things that'll raise their head up. Plan rest. Put it into your schedule. I'm a pretty scheduled person. I have some time that is unscheduled, and that's my time to rest. Excuse me. Passionate about this, I guess. Third is solitude. Find some time alone. Find a quiet place. Put it in your schedule. Find some time to do it. Go away. Talk to God. Ask him to show you some things in your life that the busyness of life doesn't allow you to see. And stop and be reflective and ask some important questions and let God speak to you. Fourth is prayer. Pray through scripture. Create a short list. I shared with you some of the things that I've done that have been helpful for me. You can check out Mike Solis' podcast on the Psalms. He's one of our pastors that's done a podcast and is working through the book of Psalms, which is really a book of prayer. So check that out. But make a short list and start praying just simple things, but spend time in prayer. You want to mature in your faith. These are the tools that God has given you to do it. Fasting. Have a plan. Start out simple. Know why you're doing it. Sometimes we don't really know why we're fasting. We fast to seek the Lord on something or to get some clarity on something. But we'd love to help you figure out what that would look like if you would like to start doing the discipline of fasting. Community. In our context, that's city groups. And I just want to remind you that city groups are an important piece of where you're going to find community here. I encourage you to look around the room and say, who don't I know? And continue to grow in community by just us simply speaking to one another on Sunday mornings and trying to connect. But if you want to mature in your faith, it's not going to happen without the community of the believers helping you to do it. Generosity. Be, thoughtful about your giving. Sometimes we just do whatever. I encourage you to be thoughtful about it, to think through, how does God want you to be generous? You don't hear us telling you what you should give, but we do want you to be thinking about what you should give. And we do want you to be generous, and we do want you to ask God, show me what you want me to be giving. Service. Well, I want to call you to serve here at the church. I want to call you to serve outside of the church. Find something that you care about outside of the church that you could be the hands and feet of Jesus and ministering there. Take your city group and do it together. And finally, witness. What do we mean by witness, and how do we do it? Last thing here, we had a thing called My Five, and what we call My Five is thinking of five people that you know that don't know Jesus and put them on a list and pray for them. And who's your My Five? You might hear some of us talking about that because it's something we used to do in the past, and we're trying to remind us again about witness. Who's my Five? Five people that you know that are far from God. And then these three things: working on having good conversations that lead to God conversations that lead to gospel conversations. That's such a beautiful way to think about it. I'm working on, how do I have good conversations with people in which I really care about them and really want to engage with them? Then how do I move that to a God conversation, where maybe we're talking about faith? Then how do I move that to a gospel conversation in which I can share with them about who Jesus is and what Jesus has done in my life? So that's what we're talking about. We're going to be switching back to the book of John here next week. But as we start this new year, I'm just going to encourage you and invite you to ask the question, are you mature in your faith? And how can you mature more in your faith? And which of these disciplines are ones that you need to use that you think will help you grow more in your faith that you have not been using? And one that you cannot ignore is being in the Word of God. So I'm going to implore you again to be in Scripture. Let God speak to you through His Word. All right, I'm going to invite you to take a moment. Just bow your heads. That was a lot of information today. Would you just listen to what God might be saying to you? And then we're going to close with a time of worship and communion.